We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You guys thankful to be in the house this morning?
Yes.
Come on. So good to be together. I want to take some time first to honor Pastors Chad and Pastor Julie for how amazing they are. Anybody thankful for our senior pastors for all that they do in and out of the house? It's a lot of stuff that you guys do goes unseen but not unnoticed. And I'm just honored for this opportunity, and I know that everyone here is honored to be able to serve under you guys. So thank you so much for what you guys do. Like Pastor Chad mentioned, I am the youth and young adult pastor along with my beautiful wife, Pastor Jordan. God, that's God's grace in my life. Amen. I say that every day I wake up. It's God's grace in my life. So I'm so excited. I want to welcome you guys here today, both if you guys are here right now and if you guys are watching through the live stream, whether it's through Facebook or YouTube. Just know that it is better to be here together live, like in person. I know technology allows us to do all this, and we're so thankful because we can do and still reach people that may not be able to come here to the actual location. But just know that the presence of God is in this place. Anybody believe that? Come on. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do is we're going to read a scripture first. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the word. Amen. Awesome. Do you guys got your Bibles with you this morning?
Yes.
I hope you do. And if not, if you got your phone, get the Bible app. It's awesome. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. And as you guys are getting there, just know I do got a lot of energy, okay? So if we got any energetic people here in the crowd today, please be with me. Because I don't want to be just that person jumping around. Everybody's like, I don't know what I'm about to do. But I just really believe that church is a place for freed people. Amen. I think that once we came into the church and began a relationship with God, God snapped the chains that the devil had over us, and we're now free to do what we want to do. Amen. And I just believe that if you feel that God is speaking to you, an amen means let it be so. So I just hope that encourages you guys this morning. You guys got your amen. Amen. There you go. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, just to give you a little bit of a background. I know we hear about Moses all the time, but Moses was originally an Israelite, was brought up in Egypt after the king at the time of his birth was trying to kill all the male babies because he thought that the Israelites were going to take over. The Egyptians were ruling over the Israelites. So Moses grows up, and he sees some injustice. He begins to realize what's actually happening in front of him. And in one instance, he ends up killing an Egyptian because he was abusing an Israelite. And he realizes he can't stay there any longer and runs away. And maybe most of you guys might know the story. But he ends up marrying a woman. He settles in the city of Midian. And he ends up marrying a woman. And while he's tending his father-in-law's flock, this is what happens. Pastor Chad actually preached an amazing message on the burning bush story during our campfire story series. That's why that double S always throws me off. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. It says this, "Look," this is God speaking, "the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I?" Come on, highlight that right there. Who am I? "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." Come on, that's a good word. That's a good word. Have you ever felt like God is sending you someone? He says, in just a little bit, you're going to return and you're going to worship in this very moment. And I believe that's what God is telling Moses. And have you ever asked yourself this question? Who am I? Who am I? Not in the sense of who are you as a human being, but who are you to be able to do what God has called you to do? I know me, myself, I've asked myself that a lot. God, who am I to be here? Who am I to be right here standing before you guys today? Who am I? So we're gonna get into this. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you because we know that your word is timely, Father. We pray that you speak to us in the way that we need, Father. Not the way that we want, but the way that we need to be spoken to this morning, God. You know what we're going through. You know the miracles that we need, Father. And we know that you can do all things, Jesus. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody like proposal stories? Proposal stories. I got to get my stool for this, but I'm not going to sit down and talk to you guys. Don't worry. But I proposed to my wife in the summer of 2015. Yeah, I got that right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Summer of 2015, I proposed to my wife after Pastor Chad basically told me, "What are you waiting for?" And amen. Praise God for that. Praise God for a pastor that won't hold back. And he was right. You know, what was I waiting for? But the proposal story, I've been planning for a long time. In fact, I had tried it a couple times. One time it was in Niagara Falls, and it was like this sketchy tour that we took there with my family. Just not a good scene. Not what you want to do. Not what you want to remember for your proposal. I was like definitely on the, what is it, Maid of the Mist or something like that? Right? I was like, that's definitely the best spot. And you get in there, and it's like a tornado going through the boat. And you're like, will you say yes? And you're like, what? Not the right place. But the proposal ended up happening, and we have one of our favorite beaches is Newport Beach. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. It's amazing. We love it. And we went out there one time, and she already had her suspicions, right? Because when you're as young as we are, you got to talk about it before you even, you know, I'm not trying to get up there and like, here. No? Okay. Never mind. This didn't happen. Let's just wait 5 more years. That wasn't the case. We talked about it, so she knew it was coming. She just didn't know exactly when. So we go to Newport Beach. We spend a day at the beach. And then afterwards, in my mind, I thought, how cool would it be to propose to her, like right before proposing to her, kind of ride on a moped along the edge of the cliff by the water, you know, all the entire scene, pull over, like basically a commercial that you would see in like GQ or something. And then we just pull over and I'd get down on one knee and propose. But that's not what happened. So I got a moped. I rented a moped. For those of you, I just hope you guys can see me. I rented a moped, and I remember I got there, and the guy says, hey, so have you ridden a moped before? You know, the basic stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely have, yeah. Never in my life have I even seen a moped in real life, like in person, at least right in front of me. And I remember, yeah, no, I've definitely ridden a moped before, don't worry. And he looked at me and said, well, if you have not ridden a moped, if you have no skills, you can't take someone with you. I was like, you don't understand what I'm about to do, my man. Like, I'm about to propose to my wife. And he said, well, hey, you know, how about this? I'll tell you this. You do one lap around this block, and you come back, and then we'll decide then. And I was like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. My voice was really that high. And I remember I sat down. I got on, and I was like, hey, man. Hope this is not throwing off the stream. All right. I was like, hey, man. So it's been a little while since I ridden a moped before, and I just kind of forgot how to do it all together. But I've definitely ridden one before, just so you know. And the guy was like, okay, so this is what you do. I was like, cool. So I don't know. I know you guys, the motorcycle guys, are making fun of me because this is a moped and not a real bike. Okay, but don't judge me. We are in church, amen. This is Planet Fitness, judgment free zone. So I'm sitting on the moped, and I'm that guy that you see when they're, like, just starting to learn how to ride, where, like, I don't know if you can see my feet, but I'm, like, every second, I'm, like, no, I got it, and I'm, like, pulling out, and I don't want to turn my back on you guys, but from the back, it just looked like I had no idea what I was doing, and I don't even know what happened. I don't know the conversation that happened between the guy and my wife, but I just know that I was embarrassed, and I was, like, this is not gonna be good, and it ended up working out. She's still alive, right? So that's a plus. And we ended up getting married. But at the time, I remember I was going like 30, and I felt like I was going 95. And I was like, I'm never getting a bike. I just don't know what I'm doing with my life here. But I ended up proposing. We ended up getting married, as you can tell. And I'm here. So that was a good story. And the proposal, the point of it is this. I remember when I looked at the guy and he looked at me as I was riding away, I like turned around to just peek, like, can you see how well I'm riding this? And he's looking at me like, you have no idea what you're doing and you might kill this girl, but I have a feeling this is important. And I'll never forget that feeling in my stomach, like my wife looking at me like, you have no idea what you're doing. And the guy judging me like, you really should get off of this before you kill somebody. And me like, I have to do this. That was such a feeling of unqualified. If you know what I mean. I felt so unqualified at the time. And I don't know if you've ever been there in a position where you yourself have felt unqualified. Where you feel like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. And I don't even know if I have what it takes to do what I'm about to do. But God, you've put me here for a reason. And when I think about the word unqualified, I always bring it back to Jesus. Because I don't know if you realize this, but a king is not supposed to be born in a stable. A king is not supposed to be born to a teenage virgin. A king is not supposed to come into a messed up world and as a baby. A king is supposed to rise as a king, but yet we see Jesus becoming human. And being raised as a child, yet we don't realize this, but to the world, he was unqualified. But you see, he was not chosen based on his qualifications. He was chosen based on his future and what God had planned for him. So I'm here to encourage somebody. You are not you're not chosen based on your unqualifications. You're chosen based on your future and what God has in hold for you. Amen. And I just want to encourage somebody this morning. So if you could declare the title of today's message, look at the person next to you. Tell them, I may be unqualified. Come on, you can say, I might be unqualified, but I'm chosen. But I'm chosen. I need you to believe that this morning. Amen. That's the title of my message, Unqualified but Chosen. Why do we feel unqualified? You know, I think it comes from both of our past and our present, right? When we look at our past, well, Pastor Marco, I have a really bad past. If you know what I mean. I've been through a lot of stuff and I've seen a lot of things. Or, well, Pastor, I just don't think I'm prepared to take care of a child because I never saw a father in my life who took care of me. I don't know what it's like to have a successful marriage because I never saw that in my house. And I just don't think I have what it takes. I did not grow up the right way. I did not grow up how I was supposed to grow up. Or maybe you're saying, well, you don't understand, Pastor Marco, what I did this morning. Because that's still the past, if you know what I mean. You don't know what I did this morning. And I'm in here in church and I'm trying to act like everything's cool. But I know that I'm not ready for what God has for me. So we base our qualifications on our past. Or sometimes we base our qualifications on the present, right? If you have any form of social media, you know what I'm talking about because there's comparison going left and right each and every day, right? You open up your phone and you're like, oh, that person's doing much better than I am and they're 20 years younger than me. So how does that even work, right? How does that work? I remember I walked into the gym not too long ago and I was like, so pumped. I was like ready to get work done. And I remember I got in there and I looked at a guy and I was like, you won already. Like, why are you here anymore? Like, just please leave. Please leave. Work out at home. Lift your house. Like, I don't know. Like, why are you here? You know, but we base it on comparison. That's the reality of it. And the fact is this, God can use your past and your present, but he calls you based on your purpose. He does not call you based on what you did. He does not call you even based on what you're doing. He calls you based on where he knows you're heading. Amen. The plans and the purpose that he has for you. That is why he calls us into his presence. Amen. The problem is we look to ourselves and to other people around us for qualification. You see, David was forgotten. I don't know if you guys know the story of David, but David was supposed to be anointed. And when he was supposed to be anointed, it says in the scripture that Samuel went to his house and his father, he called all of his brothers but David. He said, oh, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. It's got to be him. Till he realized there was none left. And Samuel said, do you have another son? He said, well, I got a young one. I got a young one. And I think he was judged based on his appearance. Have you ever been judged based on what you look like today? You know, I keep going back to social media, but I love, which I'm really saying, I think it's a little bit funny, when I see some of the women who just became recently pregnant. When I say recently, I mean like within the last like 3 weeks they just found out. And that day they post a picture like, baby's kicking. Baby's kicking. I'm like, ain't no baby kicking in there. What are you talking about? But they're like, baby's kicking. And then, you know, surely a few months go by and you begin to see an actual bump. But I just love it when they're like, there's something in there. I'm like, I can't physically see it. Now, I'm here to encourage somebody because maybe you think that there's nothing inside of you because people keep saying that to you. They keep speaking over you. But let me tell you, what God has put inside of you is hidden for a reason. And it will come out in the right time. It's not about your time. It's about his time. And there's purpose behind the waiting period. There is purpose behind the process. Amen. There's purpose in the process. So people can't always see what God has put in you. Let me ask you this. Why are you allowing certain people to influence your future? Why are you allowing people to influence your future? I say this, if they're not investing, they have no input in my future. If they're not investing into me, into my future, they have no input in where I am heading. Let me tell you why. And let me first clarify this. Investments, people say, well, yeah, this person invests in me all the time because they encourage me. Investments, understand this. Investors are also challengers. Because you might say, well, I feel invested into when I feel encouraged. But what about when somebody challenges you? What about when someone calls you out? Because Pastor Chad said this, and I know it's in the scripture, it's better to get a kiss from an enemy. It's worse to get a kiss from an enemy than, That's what it is. A diss from a friend. I'll call it that. But the reality of it is we look for encouragement. We don't look for us to be challenged and grow. But that is where the true growth happens, amen, when we are challenged. Now, what's worse than allowing others to disqualify you? Disqualifying yourself. Disqualifying yourself. And this is what we see in Moses. He didn't even want to give it a chance. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you yourself, you don't even need anybody to tell you how bad you are because you're like, I'm bad all by myself. I know how bad I am. I don't need anybody to tell me. And you disqualify yourself before you even get started. And this is where Moses is. See, God isn't looking for your ability. He's looking for someone who's just available. Because if you are willing, God is able. If you're just willing to open up your heart, if you're just willing to be a vessel, God will use you. I promise you that. But you have to be willing to open up. Amen. The Bible tells us he knocks on the door of our hearts. He does not punt the door open. He waits until you open it. So you have to be willing. Amen. So this is the fact. I want you guys to write this down if you're taking notes. There's a gap between who the Bible says that you are and who you truly believe that you are. There's a gap between who the Bible says you are and who you truly believe that you are. And that's called insecurity. That's called insecurity. That gap is called insecurity. It is a place where we feel like we are going to be judged. And really, it comes from the fear of rejection. So I just got five quick points for you guys to fight this insecurity and understand that even though you might not be qualified to the world, you have been chosen by God. Amen? Amen. So number one, you guys taking notes. Number one, it's never the right time. It's never the right time. See, people push off things until they feel ready. Right? People push off marriage. People push off marriage until they feel ready. I was like, I don't have the finances that it takes to actually be married to this woman. I don't have what it takes right now because I'm so young. Or people might say, well, I'm too old to do this. Or I'm too tall. Or I'm too short to do this. Or I don't have the right credentials. I don't have the right education. Right? So we push things off. We push having kids off. Right? Amen. I'm waiting. I'm not pushing. I'm waiting. There's a difference there. But really, sometimes this is a good thing. Other times, it's out of fear. Out of fear of what might actually happen. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says this. There it is. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can I encourage somebody? You won't always have the right answers. You will not have the right answers. Growth is about progress, not perfection, right? Now, on the other hand, don't set expectations you can't possibly satisfy. I heard this before. You cannot get an A on every single category. You just can't. And I know people are here, we're like, well, I just want to have the perfect family, and I want to have the perfect job, and I want to be the perfect servant, and I want to be the perfect this, and I want to be the perfect that. And then before you realize, you've gone crazy. Because you're trying to do everything perfectly, not realizing you're an imperfect person already. And sometimes you just got to do your best and allow God to deal with the rest. He is the God that fills in our gaps. Amen? He fills those in. So you got to do what you can and understand that God will take care of the rest. See, Moses, he was worried about what he couldn't do. Right? Moses had a stuttering problem. I know I didn't read about that, but he had a stuttering problem. It says that God tells Moses, he says this in Exodus chapter 3. Verse 14, he says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. I am. And there's a period in the Bible where God begins to call him, he addresses himself as I am. Right? And the Bible tells us that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So I believe that what God is saying to Moses is this, I am all that you're not. Whatever you're missing, understand that I'm filling that place. If you feel like you're not a good father, well, guess what? I'm a good father. You feel like you don't have the finances, well, guess what? I have all the riches in the world, and I can bless you with that. You feel like you don't have the health, well, guess what? I can heal you in the name of Jesus because I am the healing power. Amen? He's the healing power. So he is whatever we are not. He fills those gaps. Amen? Now, number two. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. Here, I got another little prop here. Hopefully, I'm getting splinters. This might be fake wood, actually, so never mind. You have what it takes. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, as Moses is arguing back and forth with God, I understand it's not argument, it's more of a discussion. Have you ever had a discussion with a parent? where you're like, I don't think I want to do this. And they're like, well, too bad. So this is Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? It says, a staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it turned into a snake. And it says that he ran from it, right? See, Moses, he was fixated on what he lacked, not what he had in his hands. He was more focused on what he didn't have than what he actually possessed. He didn't understand the potential hidden behind what he already had in his hands. See, sometimes we focus so much on, well, God, I don't have the money. Well, God, I don't have the education. Well, God, I don't have that. Well, God, I don't have this. God, I don't have the experience. But God is saying, don't worry about what you don't have. Understand, you already have all that you need because I've already made you perfect in my eyes. Amen? So that's what he's saying to Moses. He says, it doesn't matter. It is not just about what you have that matters. It is how you use it that really matters. Right? Because to Moses, this was just a staff, but to God, it was a miracle. So whatever you might have in your hands today, to you, it might just be barely anything, but to God, it is a miracle. Amen. Now, I personally, let me tell you something. Let me put this back. I personally admire all that the gifted musicians that we have in the house. Anybody thankful for the musicians we have here? I admire Matt Rudd in the drums. Come on, how talented is this guy? Gifted in every single way. And I love what he does. I wish I could do it. I know I'm throwing off the cameras. I wish that I could do it. But if you give me some drumsticks, guess what? I'm going to just smash something and hope that it sounds okay. I can keep a beat. Anybody can keep a beat? It's just because I'm Spanish. That's really why. But I can keep a beat, so I can keep that going. Now, Eli, my guy, he can make this sound like straight salsa from like 1995, just primetime salsa. I can. Now, I'll just make it sound like, hey, amen. It sounds like just a tribe coming through. But I can't do anything like that right now. Now, back here, we have Davina on the keys. Now, if you put me in the keys, I might play one, maybe two songs that might sound okay. I just play the intro, though, and that's it, and I'll just let it ride out. Let the Spirit lead, amen? But Davina gets on here, and all of a sudden, you have an amazing worship. You're just in the zone. You see, what you don't understand is I don't have what it takes to do that, but if you put a mic in my hand, you better believe that I'm going to preach the Word of God because there's people that need healing. Now, if you put a mic on someone else, if you put a mic on Chris Egghorn, believe it, he's going to get up here and sing tunes that you can fall asleep to, honestly. You just listen to that all night. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for the tunes that this guy's got. But this is the reality. You are gifted in one way or another. Regardless of what it is, you are gifted in that way. You need to learn how to use it. Because you might have a gift already. You might have what it takes already. You just don't realize it. That's exactly what you need to use to overcome this storm. Amen. Come on, somebody give God some praise. Moses had a staff, David had a sling, and Gideon barely had an army. What do you have in your hands this morning? What do you have already? See, stop asking God to give you more. Instead, ask him to show you how to use what you already have. I love this because I don't know if you guys have read the story of the widow from Zarephath. That's right, Zarephath, yeah. With flour and the oil and the two sticks. I don't know if you guys have ever read the story, but it says that Elijah the prophet was walking by and this woman, she barely had anything. There was a drought in her city, and she barely had anything. She was gathering some stuff so that she could make a meal for her and her son, and then they could die. That's literally what it says in the scripture here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. What you call nothing, God calls everything. What you might look at it and say, God, this is absolutely nothing. God, there's nothing you can do with this broken man. But God says, that's exactly what I need. See, I don't need somebody who thinks they got it all together. I need somebody who can die to themselves and understand that God uses dead people. God uses people who he can move around and understand that there's still purpose over there. And that he can move them over there and say there's still purpose over there. Regardless of where you are, as long as God is with you, you are in the right place. Amen. Do what you can with what you have. Amen. That's number two. You have what it takes. Number three, remember your victories. Remember your victories. Deal with your deficiencies, but don't allow them to become your identity. Remind yourself of your victories. Amen. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. The Lord has that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. This is David speaking when Saul questions his ability to fight Goliath. And David said, listen, I don't have much to show, but I know that there's a God out there that rescued me from a lion and a bear, and this Philistine got nothing on that God. See, David, he was reminding himself, I might not have much to show, but right now, but I got victories in the past. I got things that I can show from my past. It's not the same miracle, but it is the same God. You might say, it's not the same thing that I struggled with a year ago, but it is the same God that got you through that before, and he will get you through this one again. Amen, come on. We sing a song. We actually sang it today, Do It Again. And that song, if you don't know the background story, is actually about the Israelites. We're talking about them right now. They get to the promised land. They got to walk around Jericho 7 times. Because let me tell you, a lot of you guys are walking around and you're on the 6th lap and you don't realize you're 1 lap away from your miracle. Amen. So it says that on the 7th lap, they're walking around. And this song says, God, I know that you've done it before. You can do it again, Father, because the same God that took us out of Egypt is the same God that's going to get us to the promised land. The same God that split the seas is the same God that's going to tear down this wall. The same God that made water out of nothing is the same God that's going to tear down his walls. I know it's not the same miracle. It doesn't connect altogether. But the same God that got you from that health issue is the same God that's going to get you through the finances. The same God that kept your marriage together is the same God that's going to bring your children back into the house of God. Does somebody believe that the same God can do a different miracle? Come on, somebody say, I'm remembering my miracles. I'm remembering my miracles. You know, I think about us as youth pastors, and Pastor Chad knows this, and anybody who's involved in ministry, really, you know there's the highs and the lows of ministry, right? There's the good days and the days where nothing is working on stage, and you get up here and you're like, Scripture, all right, let's keep it going. You got those days, you know, and we've had those days at Ignited as well. And there's some days when you just go home and you're like, God, do I have what it takes to continue to run this ministry? Do I have what it takes to just allow you to use me? Do I have what it takes, God? Do we have what it takes? And I always look back, you know, on my way. Sometimes when I get to work, actually, I'll look back because that, you know, that's always the hardest when you're sitting in your car, you're about to go into work, and you're like, here we go. And you get out there. I was in the car for a little bit. I might extend it just a little bit. But I watched a video that we have of the recap from Summerfest. And if you've watched that video and you did not get chills up your spine, I don't know what's going on with you. But I watched that video and I see the way these youth worship. And I see the way these youth seek. And I see the way that they pray. And I see just how much they want more of God. I see the tears falling down from their face. And I remember the same God that did that can get us to the next season of Ignited. The same God that did that can get us through it. And I remember on the last day of Summerfest, I was actually talking with one of our leaders. And this leader looked at me and she was like, good job. And I lost it. Because in my mind, I thought, how can an unqualified man in all sorts of ways, in all examples of the word, how can someone so unqualified get a good job from somebody so qualified? And in my mind, I thought this, it's not me. It's God. And if God did it, he can do it again. Amen. Does anybody believe that? All right, number four. We got to keep it moving. Vulnerability is your biggest weapon. Vulnerability is your biggest weapon. I know you hear that word vulnerability. You're like, you literally tighten up. I'm about to snap this jacket. That's how tight it is. Vulnerability is your biggest jacket. Your biggest weapon. This jacket ain't no weapon, I'll tell you that much. Amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says this. He's talking about God. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Amen. That is why, for Christ's sake, come on, somebody say it with me. I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, when the bills don't go right, when the money doesn't come in, when I begin to get sick. I delight in my weaknesses because I know that when I am weak, that is when I'm really strong. When I don't feel like doing it, taking another step, I know that God is in that next step. Have you ever seen those those like runners when they're like they're really struggling to just run. Like, and I don't know, I'm talking about like marathon, like the Olympics. If you watch the Olympics, they're running and like you can tell they're on the last lap and their legs are just like, I don't know if you can see my legs, but I'm trying. I know, it looks like I'm salsaing, really. But it's like, their hip is almost like, you know what I'm talking about? And you see them doing that because they know, just one more step and I'm a step closer. Just one more step and I'll get there. Just one more step. That's the way you got to think about it. Just one more step. God, because I know that you'll meet me there. God will not take you anywhere he has not provided for you already. Amen? So vulnerability, this is your biggest weapon. The enemy, he wants to shame you because of your weakness. Remember how bad you are. Remember what you did in the past. Remember what you did in the car just now. He wants to isolate you and make you feel like no one understands your situation. But this is the fact. You ready? The more light you shine on it, the less power it has over you. The more light you shine on it, the less power it has over you, because the devil shines in the shadows. That is where he wants to get you, in the shadows, by yourself, in your room, under your blankets, no one else there, just you by yourself with your thoughts. That is where he gets you. But the moment you say, no, enough is enough. I'm done hiding this thing. I'm going to bring it up to the light, because I know that there in the light is where God can actually use it and use it for his purpose. And not just that, but to heal other people as well. Yes. Amen. Oftentimes, pride and fear of rejection gets in the way of our purpose. Because what you don't realize is a lot of people, they talk about Moses, but not a lot of people actually know about Aaron. Aaron was the one that God used to speak through Moses, or Moses to speak through Aaron. Right, because Moses decided, I really cannot do it. God, can you use anybody else? And God said, okay, I'm going to send you Aaron. Here he comes. He's going to speak for you. And no one talks about that, because everybody says, well, Moses had what it took. Yes, he did. But he needed Aaron. Now, this is what that tells me. You ready? God can use you despite of your flaws. God can use you despite of your flaws, because a lot of us, we think, well, I have to wait until I get right for God to actually use me. I have to wait till I tithe enough. I have to wait until I'm in the church more than just 2 weeks in a row. I have to wait until I'm perfect, until I'm fixed, for God to actually use me. Can I tell you, God can use you in your brokenness. God can use you in the process. He's not waiting for you to get to the finish line, because at the finish line, you're going to be in heaven, baby. It's not about that. It's about in the process. It's about the now, amen? It's about now. Vulnerability, it also gives connection. It also gives room for connection. Pastor Stephen Furtick, he said it like this. The church, the two words that are most used in the church are you should, and they're often followed by not. You should not. But he gave us a different perspective. He said, what if instead we said, me too? Me too. And this is what I mean, right? Because some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? Others around you might be going through something very similar to what you're going through. It's one thing to know God is with you. It's another thing to know that people are with you, right? So we get up here sometimes. We get into the church sometimes, and we put on a real pretty face, and somebody asks you, how's your marriage? It's good. It's so good. I love my wife. And you know dang well, when you sit down, you're pinching her she's pinching you under the seat. So you better not say anything. You better not say anything. You just keep that smile. You right? That's that church smile. Anybody know that church smile? During worship, you're like, God, heal this man. Heal this woman. Amen. But we put on this face. We put on this disguise for what is going on in our lives, when in reality, we know that our lives are falling apart. And we come into the church and we act like everything's okay. Somebody asks us, hey, how are you doing with your finances? Well, I haven't tithed in 1 month, but everything's good, man. Everything's good. I mean, I'm being faithful to God and his house, but in reality, you are missing the point, because God can't use a fake you. God can only use the real you. Yeah. Amen. So God is asking us this morning, you're having trouble with your marriage. Well, guess what? Me too. You're not alone. Wait, your kids, you had to drag them to church this morning because they didn't want to show up. Well, guess what? Me too. Wait, you mean you just had an argument with your husband or your wife in the car before you walked in and now you're all smiling? Me too. Amen. I'm tired of people saying you should. How about instead we start saying, me too. You're not alone. You're not crazy. The God that healed me, the God that got me through it, he can do it for you as well. Come on, we're going to pick each other up and we're going to keep running together, because you are not alone in this fight. Amen. We are not alone. That's what the enemy wants. So I want to give you guys a call to action. First of all, understand the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But But here's the call to action. When I know Easter's coming up, it's a big day. Anybody believe Easter is a big day? This is a big weekend. We got the Friday service. We also got the Sunday, both services. And I think it's an amazing opportunity because people are so open to, I don't know why I just did this. I'm about to open my shirt. People are so open to accept an invitation to church. They're so open to hear about God. They're so open to hear more about Jesus. But it's about the deliverance, I think, because a lot of us will say, well, God is good and God can do this for you and God can do that for you. But how about instead we start sharing, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through. And God is using me in the process. God is not waiting for me to be healed. God is waiting for me to just take a step forward and know that he can use me right here, right now. The world doesn't need more perfect people. It needs more honest people. The church doesn't need more perfect people, because if we did, we'd all be flying around this room with our wings on our backs. But the world needs more honest people, people that are willing to stand up and say, guess what? I'm failing too. I'm not a perfect parent either. Guess what? I also got mistakes. Guess what? I'm also late to work all the time, but I'm working through it and God is using me right now. Amen. God can use you right now. And I'm going to finish with this thought. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. Because if we can summarize all of this, it really comes down to the fact that we feel we're not enough. We feel like we're just not enough. And I love the story of the shepherd with the 99 sheep. If you guys don't know that story, it talks about how the shepherd, he had 100 sheep and one ran away. And he still had 99, but the shepherd decided to go after that one sheep. And I love that story because to me, when I first heard it, I'm like, well, if you do math real quick, I mean, 100 is, I mean, 99 is still better than one. I mean, that's the way that we think here on earth, right? But it says that the shepherd ran after that one lost sheep. And we sing this song in the back called Reckless Love, and it talks about how God's love is just so crazy for us. And it's just so insane that he would leave 99 to chase the one. You see, because God is not concerned with what's going on outside of his love for us. He's not concerned with what's going on the outside. He's concerned with what's going on in your heart. Amen. He wants to bring you closer to him. See, the shepherd, he sacrificed himself. It says that he went to look into the shadows for the sheep. Because he knew that the sheep was lost. This is his love for us. You weren't worth, let me tell you something, because here in our world today, we believe that, well, God, I'm not worth my dad staying home and my dad actually staying with my mom, or God, I'm not worth having this job. God, I'm not worth having this. God, I'm not worth being healthy. I'm not worth this. I'm not worth that. And we think about that because that's our reality today. But can I remind you of something? You were worth every whip. You were worth every spike in that crown of spikes. You were worth every nail that went into his hand. You were worth every single pain that our Lord and Savior struggled through. So let me tell you, if you feel like you're not worth anything, you were worth the death of our Father. You were worth it. You were worth him becoming a man. You were worth him being beaten, being people spitting on him. You were worth every single bit of it. You were worth it. And John 3:16 tells us, whoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. It doesn't say those that feel qualified. It doesn't say those that are educated, those that have it all together, those that are ready, those that have the perfect marriage, those that have this, it says whoever believes.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.